a father's advice. A father's advice, and we could even say this as a mother's advice also. And we're in the book of Proverbs and chapter number 4. And we're going to talk about wisdom, of course. That's what the father tries to guide his son in wisdom. And we tend to look at wisdom as being soundness of judgment, the right use of knowledge, etc. But in the Hebrew mind, it covers every aspect of life, wisdom does. And they sought wisdom like gold and silver. They were really wanted to be wise. They thought wisdom was something that would they could attain heaven itself with, basically. Now, we know that knowledge, the Greeks just absolutely were thrilled with learning and knowledge and wisdom and political ideas. The Hebrew word wisdom is from the word chokmah, and the verb form means to be wise, to act wisely. And everyone in the Middle East of that time was absolutely thirsty for wisdom. The sayings of Confucius, Buddha, all of this, we see all of these ideas. Now in wisdom, there is ethical wisdom in there. Ethical wisdom, that's wisdom that you attain by being what we might call just. In the balances of justice, we have a woman holding a scale and the balances of justice on that scale. Now, in the Hebrew mind, the word wisdom was feminine. So to gather wisdom, you gathered wisdom from her, so to speak. Ethical wisdom. We have con artists on the telephone all the time trying to steal our money in any way that they can do it. And they become unethically wise how to do that. They are educated in how to con you, how to deceive you. Chokmah also has a skill as intelligence. Now, intelligence is something really that is God-given. I have seen people use all of the intelligence they have, every ounce of it. Every IQ that they have, they work with it. And maybe it's not real high, but they're doing the best they can with that. And then I've seen people very, very intelligent, high IQ, that were just absolutely nothing. That so-called God, so-called wasted their intelligence on them, or their IQ on them. Wisdom and shrewdness, as you get these telemarketer phone calls and as you enter these contests and they try to get you, well, which one of these do you want? I don't want any. Which one do you want? Which one do you want? Which one do you want? I don't want any. Well, you have to buy this to be entered in this, and yet they say you don't have to buy anything, but they will twist your arm, they will bend your ear, they will wear you out with their skill and shrewdness. Solomon in the Bible was a wise man, it says, but then in the end of his in his wisdom, he became an alcoholic, he became a drug addict, and he became a sex addict. All of his wisdom didn't do him any good, did it? All of his learning. Wisdom is personified in true justice, in what we might call ethical wisdom. The Bible, Jesus told us to be wise as serpents, as gentle as doves. Did he not? Wise as serpents and gentle as doves. The Bible talks about wisdom as a woman of great beauty. A woman of great beauty. True wisdom. In Proverbs, the fourth chapter, we have a father's instruction, a father's wisdom, a father's advice, a mother's advice. We always, I don't know very many, now I do know some of these people, that wish the worst on their children and that used and abused their children awfully, terribly bad. That's usually an exception to the rule. Because my grandmother, when she was raising me, she wanted me to have more than she had. She wanted me to be educated. I was learned how to read and write before I ever went to school. I didn't go to school until I was almost 7 years old. I was being drugged around in the cotton fields. And about that time, also, Dale came along in my life, my stepfather, and began to teach me other things. But I went to school. I went to first grade. If I remember right, I went to first grade for 3 months at Fairfax. About that time, they got Virginia Avenue School done, and I went over there, and I went into the second grade because I already knew how to read and write. I was really being held back. I didn't really get to the point where I was comfortable with everything until I got to the third grade. My grandmother was very poor. My grandfather was hurt. Well, not hurt so much, but he got the Spanish flu in World War I. They sent him back home. He was an invalid almost all of his life because he had no lung capacity left. His lungs were completely shot, and my grandmother had to work for everybody. I grew up, I learned to walk in the cotton fields, picking cotton. I was always busy. I would chop wood and chop wood, and for my grandfather, when I was at home, I'd be chopping wood for the wood stove. Because that's what we had. We didn't have anything but wood to cook on. They had no electricity and no running water. Indians are weird. In many ways, they let their children learn by mistakes. They learn best that way, they say. My grandfather taught me how to chop wood, and I'm 1 and 2 years old chopping wood with a little hatchet. I'm out picking cotton in the cotton fields, and my grandmother gets down at nighttime with a kerosene lantern, and she teaches me how to write cursive. And she taught me how to read encyclopedias and all of that. I was reading and writing cursive when I went to school the first time in the first grade. They didn't want me to do that. I didn't know how to print because I'd never learned how to print. My grandmother only went to school in the third grade only. Not first, second, fourth, fifth, but in the third grade only. She went only to school 1 year, and they taught her how to write cursive. And she wrote well, and she taught me. She'd make me make circles all exactly the same. She'd write. I couldn't get below or above the line. I had to go that way, and then I had to write a circle underneath the line, and I still have some of my very first time I ever wrote my name. Marilyn's mother was too lazy to get her up and go to school. She didn't go to school until she was almost 8 years old, and she was in the second grade. First time she ever went to school. Neglect. We always want our children to have more than we do normally. My grandmother did her best for me. That's all I can say. She was hit by a drunk driver in 1960. And she died a week later in 1961 in January. She was the first death in fatality, accident, automobile fatality in 1961 in Bakersfield, California. What I learned from her in my life until that time has carried me throughout life. about love and devotion and sacrifice. She taught me how to pray. She took me to church. A heretical church, but she took me to church. Charismatic. Scared me to death. All those people marching around, hollering and screaming and going on all the time. It was real spooky. But she read the Bible to me. She could sing like an angel. Play anything, instrument that was existed almost. Without even trying. She was a genius with no education. But whatever she learned, she learned. She saw her sister play a piano, and she sat right down. Her sister could hardly play the piano, and she was just rolling it out. She saw what the notes were and memorized them in her head and room, and she started playing for the silent movies. She had a lot of wisdom. She really saved money. She wouldn't spend a dime on anything that wasn't necessary. One of my stepfathers put electric light in the little shack where we lived, the dirt floor, with a tarp for a door and one little window that just had a screen over it. Put a board over it in the wintertime. He put an electric light bulb in there and had a little separate meter. And it was $1.90 for the first month. My grandfather said, that's nonsense. You can buy a gallon of kerosene for 10 cents. He said, forget this. He didn't want to turn that light bulb on. Wisdom, people being wise with their money, they had everything taken from them in Oklahoma. They came to California to be mistaken for white Okies. And they did. It worked. They did buy a piece of land. And I cherish that place. Chapter 4 and verse 1 says, hear, O sons, the instruction of a father. It's talking about sons here, plural. And give attention that you may gain understanding from her. For I give you sound teaching. Sound teaching. Good teaching. Valuable teaching. Do not abandon my instruction. When I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother, then he taught me and he said to me, let your heart hold fast my words. Let your heart grab onto and hold on forever my words. Keep my commandments and live. There are some things in this world that you better listen to your mother and father, and hopefully they're telling you the truth, that will let you live. That you'll live. When my sons were growing up, I wished for them to have a good wife. When my daughters were growing up, I prayed with her. Since she was a little child, Marilyn, you heard me praying that God would send the right husband to her. Mm-hmm. I prayed that God would send the right husband to her, and I think that she's got a pretty good husband. Acquire wisdom. Acquire her. Acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Oh, how so many children wish their parents had told them the truth, don't they? That it raised them up in love and in nurture and kindness. Love. Sacrificial love. Your parents should not ask you to sacrifice for them. They should sacrifice for you. Do not forsake her, that is wisdom. She will guard you. She will guard you with her life. Love her, and she shall watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is to acquire wisdom. And with all you're acquiring, get understanding. Wisdom is no good unless you have understanding. And then you can apply this to your life, remember? Rational wisdom. Shrewd wisdom. Ethical wisdom. Prize her and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a garland of grace. A crown of grace. and she will present you with a crown of beauty. I've seen some very beautiful women in my life. Out in the cities and whatever, you know, you'll see a beautiful woman all decked out, just beautiful, beautifully made up and everything else. And when they open their mouth, they're not pretty anymore. They have an ugly inside. Their inwards are ugly and selfish. Hear, my son, and accept my sayings. Why, women can meet a very handsome man, and before they know what's happened to them, they can be completely destroyed. Sometimes your parents should really try to pray for the right mate. When you find a mate, look at their mother and their father and their grandmother and grandfather and great-grandmother and great-grandfather if you can, and get a psychological evaluation on them. All of these things. When you invest your life and your love in somebody, it can be either wonderful or disastrous. I speak to you with wisdom and understanding on that point, for sure. I have directed you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the upright paths. When you walk, your steps will be impeded. Will not be impeded, it says. When you walk, your steps will not be impeded. And if you run, you will not stumble. Take hold of instructions. Do not let her go. Guard her. She is your life. Do not enter into the path of the wicked. Do not proceed in the way of the evil men. Avoid it. Do not pass it by. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they do evil. They can't go to bed at night unless they've done something wrong, unless they stole something or whatever. I remember, Marilyn, you said that your uncle, Walt, I think it was married to... Or was it Charles? Married to Bonnie Parker.
My uncle, Charlie.
Charlie was married to Bonnie Parker. Uh-huh. And he said he took her home and, or anybody's house, she'd steal something. Mm-hmm. She was a shoplifter or whatever. She'd steal wherever she went. They are robbed to sleep unless they make something or make someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness. They live by wickedness. They live by deceit. And they drink the wine of violence. But the path of righteousness is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. My son, give attention to my words. Always incline your ear to my sayings. We lead our children by example so many times, don't we? We should. Do not ask anything of your child or your children that you won't do. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the middle of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all of their whole body. I remember Brother Dieter Bergstrasser one time preached on this message right here, and he said, how to live a long life. How to be healthy. How to live a long life and how to be healthy. You do. If you do this, you may live a long life and you may be healthy. Watch over your heart with all diligence. For from it flow the springs of life and also the springs of death. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put devious lips far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead. Let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. You know, when you're running a race, you don't go looking around all the time. If you look around, you're going to throw yourself off. You look ahead and look ahead only. And you run as hard as you can. If you see somebody coming beside you, just run the harder. Don't worry about them until you see them passing you. Just run your hardest. And if you're living your life, live it to the fullest. I've had a lot of people look and come into my library and look at the things I've done in my life and say, how in the world do you do all this? I didn't waste time doing other things. A lot of people waste their life. Just waste their life. I won't hardly read just a novel. I want history. I want it to be true. I'm very disappointed if I read something that's not really true. I don't want to watch a documentary unless it's factual. Not half factual, quarter factual, eighth factual, but factual. I don't want to be confused. Let your eyes look directly ahead and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you and watch the path of your feet. Now, you got to do that now, don't you, Marilyn, when you get older?
Yeah,
you do. I used to could fall down all over the place and just get up, but boy, I'll tell you what, I'm old now. And when I fall down, I don't get up quite so easy. And if I bang something, I don't quite heal up quite so fast. Mm-hmm. Watch your ways. You ought to do that when you're young. I should have done that. I'd have been about better shape today if I'd have watched where I stepped. Marilyn, I took her shooting today out here in her little shooting range, and she started to get back in the truck and caught her foot underneath the drip line. I grabbed her by the hand real quick, and you stopped real fast, didn't you? You couldn't afford to fall. Do not turn to the right. Do not turn to the left. Turn your foot from evil. Do not turn to the right. Do not turn to the left. But turn your pathways from evil. Our Father, we send this message out for your honor and for your glory. Father, I pray as people listen to it all over the world, that they'll get something from it, that they'll gain wisdom, gain understanding, and apply it to their lives where they are in their life today. Father, please forgive me where I failed you.